Hello and welcome to Tony Broome Ministries. Our session this time is entitled, Our Responsibility for God's Creation. God has given us a wonderful opportunity to love and serve Him. I want to start our session this time just by thanking God for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. God is a faithful God. He has blessed us abundantly. Even though so much devastation and violence, uncertainty, misgivings, all this is seen as we look around us all the time now, but God is still faithful. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. God has given us a wonderful, yet a big responsibility. Our responsibility for God's creation. God values His creation and commands us to care for it. God gave mankind a big position, a high position, a position that He did not give to any angel, any other being but mankind. Our golden text, Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. This beautiful garden that God had made, He took man and woman and put them into the Garden of Eden to take care of it, to dress it, to tend the trees, the vegetation, to take care of this garden that God had made. And He puts the man and the woman in the Garden of Eden to care for it and to take care of it. We know what else happened when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. They fell into sin and disgrace, and our world is in the shape that it's in now because of it. But God gave man dominion. And we can clearly see that as we are to be caretakers. That's what man and woman was supposed to be, caretakers of creation. In Genesis 1, verse 28, and God blessed them, that is, He had made man in His image, after His likeness, and He put them in charge. The image of God created He him, male and female created He them, and He blessed them. And He gives them dominion, and He tells them here, God blesses them. God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. And replenish, that is, fill up the earth and subdue it. God tells man, and when I say man, mankind, humanity, to subdue the earth. Not that the earth and the animals and even the governments of earth would run over mankind, but we are to subdue the earth. That was God's original plan, and it will come into being again one day. And it even is now in the kingdom sense, as we are sons and daughters of the kingdom, of the Most High God. Subdue the earth. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God tells mankind to take the dominion over everything, over all of the animal kingdom, over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. So in the beginning, we, that is mankind, ate of the fruit of the trees. They ate vegetation. Everything was good. Everything was wholesome. Everything was healthy. There was no preservatives. There was no bad chemicals in the food. Everything was right there. God provided it from the trees of the garden, from the vegetation in the garden. And mankind would just take care of it, eat of it, even the animals, the beasts of the field. Can you imagine a lion or some big beast coming around and grabbing an apple or pear or something off the tree and just chewing it up? And that's what they did. and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And this is what God had intended, that we would eat that which came naturally. God provided it for us, and he provided it for mankind in the beginning, and even all the animals. Everything ate the same thing. Chapter 2, verse 15 again, the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So we were to be caretakers of God's creation. And even now, even though we're living under the curse of sin in this world that we're living in, and children of God are not under the curse, of course, but as far as we're in this world, we're not of the world, but we're in the world, we're affected by the world and the things around us, and we're still environmentally and cosmically, we're still under the curse of sin in this world. But we are to be caretakers of God's creation. We're to take care of the earth. We're not to abuse the earth. We're not to abuse the things that God gives us. We're to have the dominion, take care of the things that God has blessed us with. We are stewards over God's work. Psalm chapter 8, this glorious psalm that we have in Psalm chapter 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And one translation said, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. God is the one who sets his glory above all. He is a king and ruler over everything. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. How else will a great God do that? He could do it through his power and his might, being stronger than everyone and everybody else. But he chooses to do it through the small things, through babes, through sucklings, through small and weak things. He has perfected strength and brought strength to be. Jesus used this verse in the New Testament. He said, have you not read, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, you have ordained strength because of the enemy? The praise of God, the strength of God, even sometimes coming through the mouth of a little child, it will put to flight and put to silence the ignorance of foolish men and the enemy. When I consider, the psalmist says, thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? The psalmist looks up into the sky, as you do many times, and you see the stars, you see the moon or the sun, and you say, what is little man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you would visit him? We see ourselves so small, and yet God sees us in a greater way in which he made us in the beginning. What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you would visit him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Now in the Hebrew, it says, mat et Elohim, you have made him littler, if you want to say it that way. You have made him a bit under God. Now I know that sounds wild for us, and we'll never be divine, and we're certainly not sinlessly perfect, but God has made us. He made mankind in the highest creation, and he put him under God. Of course, everything is under God. He makes him smaller than God, lower than the angels, and Hebrews translates it as being lower than the angels. We don't see that in our person sometimes, but we see it fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. What we lost in Adam, we gain in Christ. And even though we failed God, he sent his Son, and he, the greatest of all, the highest of the highest, the mightiest of the mightiest, he was made a little lower than the angels. God crowned him with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He has crowned him with glory and honor. It says it right here in the Psalm 8, Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. God crowns him with glory and honor, and he puts all things, he says in Hebrews, he puts all things under his feet, and he says it here in Psalm 8, you have put him over the works of your hands. If he's over the works of the hands, that means that everything is under his feet. Even though Hebrews says we don't see yet all things put under his feet, but we see Jesus Christ, who was made a little lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. And that's why God has highly exalted him and given him that name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Everything that passes through the paths of the seas, everything that's on the land, on the sea, everything that's in the sky, God has made Jesus, and he is Lord of all. And he brings us up to that place that we are in the Lordship of Christ. We have him as our Lord, and he has made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Wow, what a wonderful position that he has made us to be caretakers of his creation, and that he puts us in a place of having dominion. Genesis 9, the same thing that God said to Adam and Eve in the beginning, he now says to Noah after the flood. You would think that the enemy would see to it that because of the flood, mankind would never be anymore, and the dominion is taken away. Man sold out himself to slavery, to sin. He gave that dominion that God had given him. Now the enemy, the evil one, has been handed that dominion. And that's why he seems to have so much power. He has no power of his own. He lost that power when Lucifer became Satan. But the power that he has now is because of the power that we have given him, that God meant for us to have. We turned it over to him. We ate the fruit that he offered us, and we turned it all over to him. Now God says to Noah and his family again in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish, fill up the earth. The same thing that he said to Adam and Eve in the beginning, he now says to Noah and his family, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and upon all the fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. Now God includes the meat that also can be eaten. These people that refuse to eat meat, Scripture says in the latter days, you'll give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. They will forbid to marry and command to abstain from meats. And these are things that God has given to be received of thanksgiving of those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So, my beloved, let us not go off into these doctrines that cause us to think that just because we may eat meat or we may not eat meat that we're holier than someone else. It doesn't matter whether you eat or whether you don't eat. It doesn't make you any more holy or less holy than someone else. Your food is blessed. You bless your food. You receive it with thanksgiving. And of course, it's sanctified by the word of God in prayer. God says, unlike he said to Adam and Eve, he now says to Noah and to his family and to us that are following, I've given you all things and you can partake. He gave certain dietary restrictions to Israel later and told them things that they should eat and things that they could not eat. But God's only restriction at this point, according to verse 4, Genesis 9, was that they were forbidden to eat the blood. The blood is the life of the flesh, and they were forbidden to eat blood. God values His creation. He places value upon that He has made. We may not value the creation and the things that are around us and the things that God has given us, but God values His creation. The first part of Genesis chapter 1, verse 31 says, "And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good." In Psalms 24, verses 1 and 2, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For He hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods." God, as a great God, He took something, made something out of nothing, and hung it upon nothing. Psalms 89, verse 11, "The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded it." God has founded them all, and He is the creator and sustainer of all life and all things. David's Psalm of Praise, Psalm 145, verses 13 through 17, "Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down." See how He takes care of us and sustains us and gives us life, the things that we need every day, just as much and even more so than He did in the beginning in the Garden of Eden. He takes care of us and He helps us when we fall down, and when we are bowed down, He helps us up. "The eyes of all wait upon Thee, and Thou givest them their meat in due season." God blesses us with the food that we eat and the drink that we drink every day, just like He did the children of Israel when they went out into the field and gathered the manna every day. God supplied their need, and God takes care of us. Doesn't matter whether there's pandemic, doesn't matter whether there's famine all around, God has promised He would bless the righteous and He would sustain them. David says, "I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread? Thou openest thy hand and satisfieth the desire of every living thing." God's hand can open and He can satisfy the hunger, the thirst, the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. All the ways of God are pure. Many of our ways sometimes are not pure, but all the ways of God are pure. All His works, everything that God does, is holy and righteous, altogether lovely. God is a great big God, and He knows how to take care of His creation. And we have a responsibility to carry out the things that God has given us, certainly under the new covenant. Our responsibility is not only to take care of the physical earth, but our responsibility is to carry out the good news of the gospel of salvation, that men and women, boys and girls, could come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that people could be sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit, that the lives of many could be healed by the power of God. And there's so many that are in devastation, so many that are facing sickness and illness. Whether you're in church or not in church, sickness is abounding on every hand. But God is still faithful, and we have a responsibility. Our responsibility for God's creation is not only to look after the earth, but it's to look after the people on the earth. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Father and God, we humble ourselves before You today. We realize Your goodness to us and Your wonderful work to the children of men. And I pray today that You would forgive us for abusing our position, neglecting our place and care of Your creation. Forgive us for failing You and coming short of the glory of God when it comes to looking out for those around us, loving our neighbors, ourselves, and most of all, loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. I pray today, God, that you would help us to be more mindful of our responsibility for God's creation. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our responsibility for God's creation has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.